And it was only by the grace of God that I ended up finding Jesus. But the face of Jesus was Pastor Jim. You know, I thought that, you know, I didn't really trust this guy. He was wearing a suit, and, you know, we used to go to church at the Biblical Arch, which now has burned down, I guess. But I used to go in there, and Evo would say, this is, you know, he's my pastor. And I'd say, you know, Evie, I don't know. They don't have any holy water. It's, like, not very organized. It's, you go in there, and it's really, you know, what's up with that, you know? And I just, you know, I was a hard sell because I was a Catholic, or thought I was a Catholic or whatever. And the thing was is that Jim never tried to ramrod the Bible down my throat. He just loved on me, told me some funny jokes, made me laugh. We were at Vera Peretti's, I think we went for dinner the first time that we were. Yvonne says, well, I want to go through marital counseling. And I was like, marital counseling? Well, my mom and dad used to do that, so I guess I'll do that. You know, we'll go through marital counseling. But we got to get married in the church, you know. So while we were going to marital counseling, but after our third session, we drove to Fort Worth for our third, you know, marital deal. And we were fixing to get married on the following Saturday, I think it was. And we were driving back from Fort Worth. And I just said to Yvonne, I get it. I get it. I understand this whole thing, you know, about Jesus. And I looked at her and I said, what was so hard about that? But, you know, the thing was, the eyes of my understanding were open just for that little moment in time where I realized, Jesus, I just need to put it all my cares on him, that I don't have to get it right. I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to be a performer. I don't have to do all these things, be a human doing instead of a human being. And most people, you know, unfortunately, guys, as Christians, our job is to go and tell people about how good God is. And where they see a little fruit in our lives, they see a little bit of joy, you know, they say, gosh, that there's something different about that woman. There's something different about that fella. And sometimes, you know, I think as Christians, we get so caught up in, you know, who the president is, or, you know, where people are missing it. And, you know, Jesus said in John 3:17, he didn't come to condemn the world, but he came to first love the world and love people in the world. You know, I just want to encourage everybody that, you know, we can live in a cocoon of, you know, being surrounded by Christians, but sometimes you got to get out there and get to know people in the world and love on them and love them where they're at and be able to just show them, put a face on Jesus. You know, our job as ministers is to, you know, and I believe everybody's a minister. I don't believe it's just the guy that's at the pulpit or whatever, but that we're all to minister. You know, go ye, Jesus said. So for all of us to go ye, and my initials are go, so it's go forth and tell people about the love of God, you know, where they say, you know what? And Yvonne and I were reading on the plane on the way over, and Billy Graham, his daughter was sharing about when her second marriage was failing, and she was just condemned, and she just felt like a big loser, and she said that she was heading back. She was going to her mom and dad's, and she was preoccupied with, what are they going to do? You know, kind of like the prodigal son going home to his daddy. I'm a loser. You know, I've blown it. And the first thing her daddy did was he opened the door and he said, welcome home. You know, and as Christians, I think our job is just to welcome people home. Their only glimpse at Jesus is us. You know, we're the only thing he's got going for him. You know, he's not using giraffes and donkeys, and he's using us. You know, we're the only thing. And, you know, in the world that we live in that's so, you know, we live in a world where people want to destroy us because we are consumers and we love Jesus and we have the freedom to do whatever we want in the United States and the United Kingdom. But the thing is, it's like those guys need to know how loved they are, you know, these wacky terrorists and all that. It's like they need to know the love of God. And we have a good friend that's a minister up in Colorado, and he was one of the few people that ever gave Yasser Arafat a Bible. And this guy, Yasser Arafat, you know, who was a total, you know, terrorist, you know. But Dave gave him this Bible, and he said, I want to know. He referred to Dave and his buddies that were over in Palestine at the time and said, these are the men that know their God. That's how he referred to the guys. And I thought, you know what, that's how we should be referred to, as the people that know our God. Boy, those guys know their God. They know that they're loved, that Jesus loves us. We could spend all day long focusing on ourselves and seeing where we're missing it. But Jesus says, behold me, and you'll be changed. Not behold Grady or behold Dave or Yvonne or whoever. It's beholding him that we're changed. It's never beholding ourselves, because if we behold ourselves, we end up like the world, just self-centered, you know, wanting to be Brad Pitt or, you know, Jolena or whoever. You know, it's like we're just supposed to be us, guys. God made us just the way we are. If we have a crooked nose or, you know, crooked smile, whatever, that's how God made us. We're blessed, you know. So I just want to encourage everybody to just go love on some people in your lives, people that are in your life, to just love on them. As Lou's always said, if you don't love them like they're Christians, they're never going to become Christians, you know. And it's like we've got to, you know, treat people like they're believers already, or they're not going to be believers. We've been with our family the whole trip, and, you know, none of my people are Christians yet. And they like us because we just love them, and we don't tell them where they're missing it. We don't tell them they got to clean up and do all this stuff. And they're always like, you guys are such different Christians than we know, you know. We're good tippers, too. That's part of it. I used to always say at Bible school, if you're a bad tipper, you need to get a revelation on tipping, because waiters and waitresses, those are the easiest people to minister with a tip and say, Jesus loves you. Don't give them the track. Give them, you know, a 30% tip and tell them, you know what, Jesus loves you. Because those guys, some of them are, you know, so lost and nobody ministers to them, you know. But, so praise God. Thanks, Dave, for letting me share.
Hey, God is good, isn't he? It's good to have fruit, and fruit that remains. You know what fruit that remains is? A fruit that keeps producing more fruit. Because if you have fruit that just sits there, what happens? It just rots. But you know you got seed on the inside of you? Do you know that? And you put that seed out there, and that seed, you know what God said, that seed in itself is going to continue to bear fruit, isn't it? So you just continue to plant it, continue to put it in, and it's going to bear fruit. Logan, come here. I'm going to make you stand up in front of people. This is Logan Renfro. Logan and his folks just started out in the Fort Worth church when Logan was just a short fella. 2 feet tall? Oh, 2 years old. My heavens to Betsy. He's gotten a little taller. And the Lord has blessed this young man, sent him to, he grew up with my guys, and then the Lord has since just recently sent him to China. So I just wanted him to share what God's been doing in his life. Amen.
Thanks, Pastor David. Yeah, it's I'm 25, so we've been at the church for 23 years. So it's been a long time. Yeah, I've been in China for about 3 months now. I guess it kind of started when I was taking some classes down at A&M, and I just learned about their culture and about the people, and then I had a chance to study over there, and then God just kind of just put them on my heart, and just my desire to go to China just grew and grew. And then I had a chance to get a job and start working over there. And it's an amazing country. You know, I know everybody jokes that all our stuff is made over there, and it's true. All our stuff is made there. But they're a very different people than what we think. They're very smart people. We have this stereotype that they're smart, and they are, but they're missing things. They're missing God. There are a lot of Christians over there. They're all underground. You don't ever talk about God, although they do celebrate Christmas. They have Christmas trees everywhere. It says Merry Christmas in places, and they got Santa Claus, so it's interesting. But they're very on the surface. They want to please you. They don't have, I guess, what we would say in common sense. Like, they're very street smart, but they don't have the common sense part. So like, when you're talking to them, you have to ask very direct questions. So it's very interesting in trying to conduct business. So, and like I said, there are not that many Christians over there, or at least outwardly, and that you can just go up and talk to. So when I first went over there, I knew that, because I'm in a very small town. It's about 1 to 2 million people. I know that's big in America, or small in America, but that's big in China. So it's been interesting to be in a place where there's not a church on every corner, and because there's not. There's in Shanghai, which is one of the bigger cities, they have the Catholic Church and they have the International Church, and those are the only two official churches that they can have. So in the town Yangzhou that I'm in, I knew when I went over there that I wasn't, there weren't going to be a lot of Christians and everything, and God had been trying to teach me about solitude and about the difference between being alone and having solitude. And, you know, as a Christian, I've always been around other Christians. I've never been alone. I've always had Christians around me, a Christian school, so it was never a big deal. And so when God's been trying to teach me about being alone and being in solitude, I've kind of been pushing that down as a Christian because I'm like, oh, no, Christians are supposed to be around me. So it's been interesting that I have to grow in my faith because this relationship is between me and God, and I'm not always going to be in a situation where I'm going to have Christians around me. I mean, I can always have Christians around me and still be alone. So it's been interesting. I've really seen a different side of God and having to rely on God a lot more. So it's been a great process. So, and I'm about to go back over there for about another year. So it's been a great process, and it's been fun, it's been sad, it's been all different kinds of things. They've got a great culture, and you can learn a lot from them, and they've got great art, and they got a lot of different things, and they've got other things they've got to go to in terms of learning about God. So it's interesting because you can be in America and you can be in other places and openly talk about God, but you can imagine in your head, oh, China is a place where you can't talk about God, but when you're over there, it's different. It's just different being in a place where you just can't openly talk about God. So, anyway, that's a little bit. Yeah.
Okay, I want you to lift your hands here because God's got Logan over there. You can hear that he has an ability to articulate, and that the Lord will use him and his hope, his faith, his joy in China, because he has a message that a lot of people have about God in China. Father, we thank you right now for our brother. We thank you, Lord God, for a young man who has grown up in the body here. And Father, we thank you for your demonstration of your glory as you send out those who of this second generation, Lord, who have come up under this message of Jesus loves you, and that your sins are not your problem, and that you got plenty of them, but they're not your problem. And Father, I thank you right now for just causing Logan to be able to have that message strongly and wisely, and be able to share in a way which is setting people free. And we thank you, Lord God, for sending us all over the world, to the east, to the west, to the south, and to the north. But Father, we thank you for all of these things. And we ask you to minister and bless Logan as he goes, care for him, keep him safe. Lord, give him open doors to be able to share the gospel. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. Amen. Amen. It's a powerful day last Sunday and together in 2007. Amen. 2007 has been quite a year. It's been a wild ride for some of us. Hallelujah. Amen. It's been a wild ride. But God is faithful. And you can get all bent out of shape. You can get all bleary-eyed about the trouble that comes. Jesus said it. He said, you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. I'm going to change this. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Amen? He said, be of good cheer. Cheer up. Cheer up. I've overcome the world. You're in me, I'm in you. Cheer up. Everybody put a smile on your face. Go on. Hallelujah. Cheer up. Glory to God. It's powerful. You know, you can make a choice to cheer up. Amen? Yeah. You can make a choice to cheer up, to begin to say, thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done, for all that you've done. And we just praise you, Lord God, for the mercy that you show us and the ability that you have planted on the inside of us to declare your glory, to declare your joy, your finished work, that we are in you, through you. In you we live and we move and we have our being. Father, as we come into a new year of 2008, we thank you that our confidence is in you. Father, we forgetting the things, long things were tough. Father, we forget the things that lie behind because you are caring for those things. The things that lie behind are the things that now you will care for. And Father, the things that are pressing on ahead as we press toward the high mark of the calling of Jesus Christ tomorrow, this afternoon, tomorrow, next week, because we can't do anything about what happened yesterday. We can repent and we can forgive. Those are the only two things we can do about yesterday, repent and forgive. And then we begin to just continue to move forward, to rejoice and to study your word and to open the word of God and to let the word be planted deep in us, Lord, for the things that you have for tomorrow, for the next day, and for the next day. And we give you all the praise and the thanksgiving for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thank you, Lord God. We'll look in the Psalms today. See where I want to start. Psalm 27. You know, Elizabeth McElhern is 17 today? Wow. Praise the Lord. 1 year old when we all got married. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, we just saw them the other day. They got seven now. Same as Cara Orchard. And the last kid is named John. You know, after seven kids, you run out of names? You know, one of them's John William, the other one's John Connor. It's kind of like, my goodness, if you have seven children, I guess you just run out of names. You just start, you know, you had these fancy names, and then you just, then they both, all McElhern's and Cara and Bill McLean, Jim's daughter, Cara, they both have seventh babies, boys, second boy for both families, by the way. Second boys for both families, 5 girls and 2 boys. And the last one is a boy named John. Yeah. I guess y'all be down to John by the time y'all get to 7. Yvonne? Well, then there's the family that had... Then there's the family that had two natural children and adopted 13 more. Well, that's just a story. No, it's just a story that I read. Man, people are called to certain funny things, aren't they? Adopting 13 children, and none of them's the same color. Amen? They're just from all over the world. It's so powerful, isn't it? It's amazing. The Lord, Psalm 27, the Lord is my light. I got a flashlight for Christmas. One of those kind of you. Isn't it terrible when the preacher can't even get through a whole verse and he starts preaching? It's terrible. It's just awesome, awful. And it's one of these like this where you wind it up. Amen? The Lord is my light. He doesn't need any batteries, glory to God. Yeah, it's a leftover. Leftovers from Y2K. Anybody still got beans? I've still got beans and wheat under my old house. Because I got a slab now, but under the house that I sold to Mama Borchert. Yeah, there's still... No, the barrels of water, they're gone. But you still got wheat, red wheat. Yeah. Well, I don't know, it's sealed up. I don't know, it might still be good. I could send it to Ireland in case of trouble. Oh, you got beans and rice. The Lord is my life. He's my light. I don't have any light of my own. The Lord is my light. What that means is to me, I'm not working on trying to shine. You know, I'm not working on trying to shine. The Lord is my light. He's moved in. You know, when you bring a light into the house, you know, when you bring a light into the house, if it's dark, and what happens to the house? It's lit. That house is lit. Well, you know, the light is on the inside of you now. Amen? Do you know that? Hallelujah. So you can thank God that when Jesus Christ moved on the inside of you, it's not something you had to perform or produce or do anything. Jesus moved on the inside of you. Is He in there? Okay. Is He in there?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Then what that means is the light is already shining. Hallelujah. The Lord is my light. And He's also my salvation. Glory to God. So on the inside, there's two things happening. I'm getting changed, and the world outside is getting changed. Because the light is in the house, but the light is shining out of the house. But also the house is being revamped. The house is being remodeled. Walls are being knocked down. Amen? Now you can try to hold them up. A lot of you do. You know, I know I do. Don't knock that one down. You know, you're over here like this. You know, trying to hold up the fireplace, trying to hold up the wall, because Jesus is trying to knock a wall out. And that just bothers you. Amen? And Jesus comes in and starts moving the furniture. I used to get all upset. Janet would move the furniture. She moved the furniture for 20 years. She kind of got tired. Then she got tired. She can't get the kids to move it. But yeah, I'm telling you what, man, I'd walk through the house at night, you know, and trip over things. It's not that I didn't see it when I came in, but I forgot. You know, you move the sofa. I remember a story about Janet moving a sofa. She had it up on end and had to move it through a 90-degree corner. And it was a sleeper sofa. It wasn't one of the big ones. It wasn't hardly any taller than she was. You know, it wasn't one of those huge ones, but it was big enough. She was turning the corner. First time she ever swore. Because she was turning a 90-degree corner and the thing and the thing started opening up on her. I said, honey, see, God's telling you, don't move the furniture. See? Because, you know, God will start moving your furniture, won't He? He'll start taking your pictures down. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know, I want God to rearrange my house. Because I don't know how my house needs to look. You know, Yvonne's a decorator. I need to have her come. My house is fine because I got a wife. But some of you guys, you need to get a decorator. Amen. You got to cover yourself when you're preaching. You might mess up. You need a decorator. You need somebody to come in and straighten your house out. It's a disaster. A friend of ours, he talks about how she got married. And she married a guy. And he'd been living alone for a number of years. I mean, she was like moving into a bachelor pad. It's like, you know, she had worked for years to get that place, you know, unbachelor padded. And he fought her every step of the way. Marry young, if you can. Marry young, if you can. You know, men are kind of more flexible. How many know people are more flexible when they're young than when they're old? Because you start getting rigid, you know, and like things the way you like them. Amen? Isn't that how we are? When Jesus comes in, kind of rigid. We don't want to change. But God is your light shining out, but He's your salvation. He's your salvation. He is beginning to transform you. Did you know that you are dying? You're dead. You are dead and dying. You're dead already from the before Jesus came in. You're dead from the heart. You have no hope for future life past this life. This is it. It's the end. You know, you have no hope of joy, no hope of peace without Jesus, without having a relationship with that Jesus has come to provide with your Father, which is in heaven. He said, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father. Talking to the disciples. Now this is your Father. I breathed on you. Said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And if you believed on me, you received the Holy Ghost. And that meant the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of you. And you became born again. Born from above. God Himself received you into His home, into His family. And now He has begun to train you and to raise you and to cause you to be raised up as a son of the kingdom. You're raised, you were built, put into this kingdom to become a son of the king, a daughter of the king. Amen? You were built, you were put into this kingdom to become a child of the Most High God. You're living in the kingdom of God. This is a new kingdom. You think you're living in the United Kingdom. Well, glory to God. Living in the kingdom of the... Well, it's not a kingdom in the United States. Sure it is. We've got bases all over the world. You know, the empire, you know, the British Empire has never quit. You know, we just made it our own. It's the American Empire. You know, we got stuff everywhere. You know, we're gonna keep the peace. You can't. How many know you can't keep the peace? You can spend a lot of money, but you can't keep the peace. Amen. So here, Jesus Christ, the only one who can keep the peace is who? Jesus. And where does He keep the peace? Me. Right on the inside of me. He's the only one who can keep the peace, because I trust Him. See, because He says, "Him whose mind is stayed on Thee hath perfect peace," because he trusteth in Him. I trust Him. I trust Him. You know, if you trust somebody, you're at peace. I trust Janet. You know, go figure. I trust Janet. She's not going to stab me in the middle of the night. You know, I'll let her sleep right there next to me. There's knives in the kitchen. I'll just let her sleep, stay there, you know, and I'll just go to sleep, because I've got perfect peace. Amen? I'm peaceful because I trust her. I trust Jesus. There's many things that go on in your life. There's many things that go on that you do that you're not happy with. Many things that come out of your mouth. Many things that come out of your activity that you're not happy with. How many know Jesus loves you? How many know He paid for all that? That He's not mad at you when you mess up. He wants to change you so that you don't mess up. How about your children? Don't you want to change them so they don't mess up? So they don't get in debt? So they don't die? That's what you want. And that's what God wants for you, because He's adopted you. He's adopted you and brought you into His own house. You know, we preach these things and preach these things and preach these things. Basically, we preach the same thing. We preach the same thing we preached 30 years ago. Because it takes a long time to soak in. And when you go out into the week and get beat up by the world, you forget. You know, because how many of you were raised in this world? On this planet? Anybody from another planet? Don't raise your hand. Is you learn how to live here. You learn how to deal with, you know, you learn how to deal with the situations. You learn how to deal with enemies here. Amen? Well, God's teaching them a new way. He said, love your enemies. Now, wait a minute. Love your enemies. That includes even your family members. Oh, no, wait. Now, I could love the other enemies that I don't have to see every Christmas. You know, I can love those. But loving the family enemies? No, just I love. I went to one gal here said, I want to love them and leave them. I want to love them and leave them. No, you know what? Jesus is going to give you a love for them that will allow you to, even though they're still nasty, they're still rude, they're still ugly. Do you know who's changed? You've changed. How many believe you've changed? Now quit looking in the mirror. Quit checking. Check this mirror. This is the better mirror. This is a good mirror here. Look at James chapter 1. It says you look into the perfect law of liberty. Amen? You look into this. This is a picture of you. Look. How about this portrait? Isn't this pretty? This is a pretty portrait right here. This is Jesus. New Bible cover. The other one didn't have a zipper on it. It's great. Praise the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Have you been afraid? I mean, just generally, you know. I don't mean like, you know, fixing to run into the car in front of you afraid. I mean, just living in fear. Yeah. Anybody ever had like a, I don't want to have a, you know, somebody's called a bad confession, you know. Have you ever had a pain that just kind of like, just sat there and just kind of kept, just a pain that just never, you know, and you learned how to endure it. Do you know fear is like that? You guys have learned to endure fear. You just put up with it. Amen? How many know you put up with fear? It's just like one of those constant nagging tooth, back, elbow, one of those little pains that you just endure it, and you put up with it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Huh? Well, you don't have to put up with those either, but you just feel like you had to put up with those. But listen, fear, you don't have to put up with that. Jesus said he took away all of your fear. You know, he bore your fear. Did you know Jesus? Whom shall I fear? It's kind of like, if God be for me, in Romans 8, who's going to be against me? God with me. Do you know God's with you? Who's going to be against you? Just tell me who. Who's going to be against me? Did you? And you meditate on these things. You meditate on these things day and night because you're changing your mind. You're changing your thought. Is that, no, I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to live in fear. Amen? 2008's a coming. You know, when the year changes, people get fearful. Did you know that? They do. You know, I'm looking forward to it. Let's go. Let's get out of 2007. Let's move on. Let's move on to another year. Thank you, Jesus. I believe 2008 is going to be great. Now, don't put that on the tape. Yeah. Okay, put it on the tape. Praise the Lord. 2008, somebody, you know, people just always looking for the tape title. You know, oh, yeah, that'll do. But it is. How many? 2007 was heaven. Well, it didn't look like it. You know, somebody said it was heaven. And somebody also said it was going to be a rough year. Not for fear, but just like, you know, hey, be prepared. There are many things happening. I mean, Revelation is not a book of fear. How many know that? Amen? But there's a lot of stuff that's kind of scary in there, isn't there? A lot of stuff that doesn't look like stuff you'd actually like to see, you know, going on. But again, it's not a book of fear. It's a book of faith. The revelation of Jesus Christ through John the Apostle is not a book of fear. It's a book of faith because Jesus is coming. Because Jesus is going to produce His kingdom in the earth. And the earth is not going to like it. That's what Revelation is all about. The beast doesn't like it. The enemy doesn't like it. Your flesh does not like it. How many know your flesh does not enjoy the kingdom of God? Because your flesh is being stopped. But now your flesh will ultimately enjoy it because it'll actually live longer. Amen. You're actually not going to be as sick. Your flesh actually will enjoy it. It's just like children. They don't think they're going to enjoy not having a bucket load of candy after Christmas. But actually, they will actually enjoy how they feel if they don't eat all the candy. You'll actually enjoy how you feel if you don't eat all the candy on the eggnog. Finish it off. Well, it's going to go bad. Let her go. Janet, let me know I preached that. Let the eggnog go. Don't worry about it. Don't feel like you got to finish that last piece of pumpkin pie. Anybody ever heard of throwing out candy? No, you can't do that! No, you throw it out. They'll make more, believe me. They'll make more. They'll make more candy. Yeah, you better go find it and throw it away. That doesn't apply to my house. Not my drawer, not my secret drawer, though. I do. It's not very secret. Even the kids go in there. M&Ms, peanut M&Ms, actually. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? God before me, who can be against me? The Lord's not giving me a spirit of fear. Who gave it to me? I said, the Lord hadn't given me a spirit of fear. Who gave it to me? You have an enemy? Who gave you that spirit of fear? The devil! You have an enemy. He gave you a spirit of fear. God's not giving it to me, so I don't need it. I don't need it. I let that go. Say, no, in the name of Jesus. Even though there's trouble, it doesn't trouble me. Amen? Trouble does not trouble me. Now, it has recently. But I say, no, you're not going to trouble me any further. And you'll sit there and let it trouble you. And you know it's troubling you. And you know, and when your wife brings it to your attention that you're being troubled, you tell her, well, just let me be troubled first. Just let me work it through. Anybody like that? You just want to work it through. You just want to work it through. That means you just want to enjoy being grumpy a little bit longer. You know, it's like a hot shower. You just want to enjoy it just a little bit longer. Let me just gripe and complain a little bit longer. Well, how would you like to have victory a little sooner? Amen? I'd like to have victory a little sooner. It's not as good as you think. Grumping about it is not as good as you think. Amen? Amen. So whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Yes. The Lord is the strength of my life. Now this is David, the king of whom shall I be afraid? Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? Isn't that powerful? This is such an encouragement to come into every, not just every year, come into every morning. Of whom shall I be afraid? You got a job problem? You got a people problem? The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. In other words, the Lord is with me. He's with me. And all the sins that you're worried about, say you want to stick your sins in here and your failures in here in front of God, almost you're determined to trip the guy up. Amen? Anybody? It's like you're determined to trip God. Well, here's a sin. Here, take that. Because you're throwing them all out there like those tire strips that the police throw out there to stop God from giving you His mercy, from giving you His love. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like you're determined that your sins are bigger than God's mercy. Let's just pile them up and see how many. See how much I can bring Him to a halt. See if I can bring God to a screeching halt. Because you don't believe in the love of God. Nobody can love me that unconditionally. Nobody can love me that cleanly, that perfectly. You're wrong. God sent Jesus. Jesus came of His own accord. He said, Father, if this cup could pass from me, great. If not, I'm in. I'm all in. Jesus is all in for me. He paid every bit of my price. Every bit of it. Not halfway. He shed His blood all the way. He died all the way. He took everything all the way to the... He went all the way to the bottom for me. God then said, it's finished. God said, Jesus said, it's finished. God said it was done. He raised Jesus from the dead, and now I live with Him. I live in Him, with Him, through Him. His love has separated me from my sin. Doesn't mean I don't still sin, but His love has separated me from my sin. I no longer have to worry about sin. Now, oh brother, you're just preaching license, not a chance. I'm preaching the power of God. He said, Jesus Christ is the gospel, is the power of God. Gospel's just not a nice little message. The gospel is the power of God. Once you say yes to Jesus and the Spirit of God moves on the inside of you, there's light in the house. There is light in the house. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? Me? Shall I be afraid of? Most of you are afraid of you. First thing you're afraid of, you got this nagging fear that you're going to mess up. This nagging fear that you're going to do it and it's going to be bad. Anybody know me? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Is that you always got one eye behind you. You know, it's like, man, God's going to get me with that 2x4. He's just going to get me. It's coming. You know, you've got that nagging fear that God's going to get me. How many know Jesus got the 2x4? Jesus got nailed to that 2x4. You know, hey, if God's going to talk to me, he needs to use the 2x4. No, he already used the 2x4 and he used it on Jesus. Amen? He doesn't use 2x4s on you. Now, you may step on some landmines in your time. Amen? Seen that happen. That's okay. You know, God's a great field medic. MASH? You ever seen MASH? God's a great field medic. You know, you step on one of those landmines, he can minister to you. He can bless you. He can turn what the devil intended for evil for good. Oh, I've had all this stuff happen to me. Glory to God. Begin to thank God. Begin to thank God that you're still here and that God loves you and he's using you. And he's using that episode in your life to transform you. Amen? There are troubles in the world. There just are. I don't think there are any. The only place there are no troubles is in Belfast, Ireland. Praise the Lord. I don't think anybody who lives there would agree with me. Is that there is still an enemy trying to lay landmines in Belfast. Not about landmines, but you know, I think they've cleaned some of that up. But there's still political unrest. There's still trouble. You know, there's trouble here. In the world, you have, but yeah, right, be a good cheer. I heard that. Yeah, quit bugging me. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You know, and then Paul said it. Hey, be of good cheer. The ships are going to be lost, but there will be none lost. Glory to God. Yeah, but the ship. Well, yeah. What's the problem? Can't God make another ship? What's the problem? Be of good cheer. It is I. There's a storm, Jesus, you know. Jesus walking in. Jesus came to, and there's a storm. Jesus was surfing without a board. He came to them walking on the water. And they all cried out, thinking it was a spirit. It was a ghost. And he said, guys, be of good cheer. It is I. Hey, the ghost thinks he's Jesus now. You know. Oh, the ghost is trying to scare us, thinking he's Jesus. No, it's Jesus. He came and got in the boat. Jesus came and got in their boat. What happened to the storm? Come. The Lord is the strength of my life. Now, when he says he's the strength of my life, doesn't mean just strength like muscles. The strength of my life is everything that allows me to walk in faith and joy and peace. He is the strength of my life. I have been strengthened in every way. I have no fear in me. I want to know strength. Fear will sap your strength. Amen? Anybody know like that? You know, you're going to have your big stick. Somebody's coming in the house, you know, get your baseball bat. Well, fear, man, that bat will turn into a pencil. You know, you had a baseball bat, now it's a pencil. It's just, I mean, you just, fear will sap the strength out of you. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, what I want you to do this year, as you're reading the Word of God, as you, however you get to reading the Word of God, first of all, make sure you're reading the Word of God. Make sure you're meditating on the promises of God, on the fact that you are born again, that you're, the Spirit of the living God lives on the inside of you. When you're praying this year, thank Him that He's delivered you from all fear. I want you to come back to this Scripture, Psalm 27. Okay? And I do want to get a move on here. When the wicked comes, even my enemies and my foes, they came to eat me up and my flesh. Eat up my flesh. Yuck. The enemy is a cannibal. He's coming to eat me up. And my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh. They stumbled and fell. Ooh, well. Praise the Lord. Well, there's that tax strip, you know, again. They stumbled and fell because they got a God. Amen? Well, it didn't look like they stumbled and fell. No, you just don't know what God saved you from. Man, that was bad. No, you don't know bad. though a host, see, this would be a scare you, though a host should camp around me. Remember Elijah? And, who's Elijah? Elisha and Gehazi? You know? The host of the Assyrians surrounded them. One of those bad guys. And the prophet said, and the servant of the prophet said, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? He said, open the young man's eyes. All of a sudden, those that be with us are more than be with them. All of a sudden, he saw the host of heaven surrounding. And there was two kingdoms coming against them. And the two kingdoms, in fact, went and began to fight amongst themselves and destroyed themselves. And the kingdom was saved. Amen? Though a host should camp around me. Though an army of evil should camp around me, even as Elisha, my heart shall not fear. My heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Yvonne said earlier about being, Abraham was fully persuaded. He was confident. See, once you get into the Word of God and you begin to believe what God says rather than what you've learned in the world, you're changing your mind. You're changing all of your thoughts of how the world works. Your thoughts of physics, your thoughts of how this world works is transformed because you now live in the kingdom of God rather than, even though your body still lives in the kingdom of this world, you're living in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has moved in. He's my light and my salvation. He's moved in. God moved in. So your life is changed. Everything, laws of physics in your mind and in your house and in your head are being changed. The laws of understanding are being changed. Amen? I said the laws are being changed. Hello. Thank you. The laws are being changed. Did you know everything's being changed on the inside of you? Now, just because your brains come up and rebel against that change, no. I'm trusting God. Yeah, right now my mind is grousing right now, but be quiet. I'm not going to grouse. I'm not going to follow that. I'm not going to walk with that. Amen. Young people, kids, listen. Don't let the enemy come in and make a grouser out of you. What's a grouser? A complainer out of you. Amen. Just because mom and dad tell you, you know, what to do. Do it with joy, trusting that God is going to bless you. Though a host camp around against me, verse 3, my heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, just one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will come. God knows you have need of food and clothing and house. Matthew, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6. Seek first the kingdom of God. One thing, David says, have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Yeah, how many know that's not three things, that's one? That's not three things, that's one. How many know God is one? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, it's three. No, it's one. Said, one thing of a desire to the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. Over in Exodus 33, Joshua followed Moses out to the tabernacle. Joshua followed Moses out to the tabernacle. You remember I've told you this before. Is that he followed Moses out to the tabernacle. Moses went in, ministered to the Lord, came out. You know, Joshua's the kind of, he's the, you know, helper. He's the helper to Moses. He's Joshua's servant, or Moses' servant, his minister. And he went out to the temple, and he says, and Joshua, and then Moses went out of the tabernacle, went back down to the camp. But Scripture next says, is Joshua, a young man, stayed in the tabernacle. Joshua, a young man, he stayed in the tabernacle. He knew where Moses was getting what Moses was getting from the Lord. To stay in the presence of the Lord. Amen. To dwell in the presence of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple, tabernacle, in His dwelling place. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle He shall hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. This is 2008, people. Amen. It's new year, brand new. Come on in. Come on in. You're going to come in anyway. I mean, it's a coming. You ready? Hallelujah. And now, shall my head be lifted up above my enemies? Now that I've spent my time in the presence of the Lord, now, shall my head be lifted up above my enemies? Oh, now I can see. My head's lifted up above my enemies. Now shall I above my enemies. See, before I couldn't see for the enemy. I can't see the forest for the trees. I can't see because my enemy is all around me. Because all I'm seeing is what's in front of me. All I'm seeing is what I'm seeing with my eyes. But you know, see, now that He's set me up upon a rock, I can see beyond my enemies and see the kingdom of God, the glory of God. The city of heaven. Amen? Are you looking at the city of heaven? Are you looking at the city of God? See, remember, Abraham went about following the Lord, not knowing where he was going. You know, just bumping into the wall. He followed the Lord wherever he led. And he said he was looking for a city. Hebrews said he was looking for a city with foundations. Abraham, he knew there was no city with a foundation. No city with a cornerstone that was built by God. But he said he was looking for that city with foundations whose builder and maker is God. That's you. You know, and you know that city? You know where that city is? It's right here. I said that city is right here. Now, there's a city coming out of the sky, 1,500 miles tall, wide, and deep. You know, it's New Jerusalem. It's coming down. It's not here yet. But you know where he's built? Where it's being built? It's being built right here inside me. How many know you're a brick? How many know you're a living stone? Amen? Are you a lively stone? You're being built up a house. And there's another stone being put on top of you. And it's usually your husband or your wife. You know, you got that one stone right there, one crowding you in from the sides. You got stones being built up. But you know, you're in the right place. Hallelujah. You know, you just stay. Just stay. Just stay where you are. Don't leave. Don't move. Don't go. Amen? Just let the Lord grow you up right there in that place. Amen? You don't move stones. God moves stones. Stones don't move themselves. God moves them. Amen? I said stones don't move themselves. God does. Amazing how things just crop up. Now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies and round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises to the Lord. Somebody's getting excited here. Because I'm set upon a rock. I can see the salvation of God. That doesn't mean I can see it from the world standpoint, but I see it from heaven's standpoint. Amen? I see it from heaven's standpoint. And you know what? That's delivering me. You know, it's delivering me from what? Fear. Hello. It's delivering me from fear. Once I'm set up upon a rock and I can see above my enemies, I can see the Lord. High and lifted up. His train fills the temple. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, Lord, you said, seek my face. My heart said to you, your face, Lord, will I see. You know, your heart's been changed. It's prophetic. Your heart's been changed. Your heart's not, because before the prophet says, there's none seeks after God. No, not one. Nobody seeks after God. Right here, he says, my heart said, I will seek after the Lord. Seek my face, God says. And my heart said. Do you know your heart talks? It said. Your face, O Lord, will I see. See, because He is your light. He's your salvation. He's dwelling on the inside of you. See, what I'm telling you this morning is that there is a light and a salvation dwelling on the inside of you because of Jesus. And if you will just, you agree with it. I want you to agree with it. And I want you to agree with it tomorrow. And I want you to agree with it on the next day. And to be, agree with God. Don't disagree with God. He'll win. And if you're disagreeing with God, you're just believing somebody else. God said, I loved you. God said, I'm changing. But if you don't want to disagree with God, you're going to believe a lie. You're going to believe that God's against you. You're going to believe that He's out for you to fix up your own sins. Impossible. You can't do that. Only God. Only God can deliver you from your own sins. Only God. Yo, quit talking. Man, we're talking about wasting time. Two things waste time. You trying to get rid of your sin and guilt. Guilt is just, man, an extreme time waster. And you sit there under guilt. Get a cup of coffee and feel guilty for about, you know, another week. Amen? Stop it. Hallelujah. Begin to rejoice. Don't feel guilty. Rejoice. Say, Father, when guilt comes on you, I want you to say, Jesus, thank you that you died for that. Thank you that you paid for that and it's all paid for. The debt is gone. The debt is paid. And I'm in the presence of the Holy Father. I'm in the presence of my Father and your Father. He loves me and I'm forgiven of all sin. Right now. Right now. Not later, right now. And he says, hide not your face from far from me. Put not your servant away in anger. That's the prayer of that heart. You have been my help. Leave me not. Neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me. Now verse 9, if you'll look at verse 9 there, it says, hide not your face. See, that's that battle that your soul has, isn't it? Oh, God, don't hide your face from me. That's the battle your soul has. But he says in verse 10, when my mother and father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. But even those who are my best, closest allies forsake me, the Lord will take me up. The Lord will make me His. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. How many know your enemies will put you in such disarray because you're fearful? Again, it's back to fear. Your enemies will put you in a quandary, confusion. Lead me in a plain path. How many know the Lord will make your path plain? He'll make the crooked places straight. When the enemy messes up your path, when the enemy puts fear on you and you just don't know what to do, begin to come into the presence of the Lord and worship Him. Take time to worship God. Fear has no part in me. I'm not, of whom shall I be afraid? Take those scriptures, take those promises from the Lord. Is that, you know, if God be for me, who could be against? Who could possibly be able? That's what that scripture means. Who shall be able to stand against me? I mean, who's bigger than my God? Shall Goliath? Who's bigger than my God? Who is able? Teach me, now listen, teach me your way. See, there's a difference between your way and His way. He's wanting to teach you His way. Because His way is the way to life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So He is my way. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a straight, clear, plain path. That is, the Holy Spirit is always leading me. Well, it doesn't seem like He's leading me. I'm just at a total loss. Well, I understand that. I understand that feeling, but you know what? That's the difference between trying to start learning how to walk when you're 40 and learning how to walk when you're 2. Amen? is that God, it's going to take some time to transfer. I mean, that's why we go to, that's why people go to Bible school, to separate. That's why we separate ourselves unto the Lord. I'm not saying everybody has to go to Bible school. What I'm saying is separate yourself unto the Lord. Make time to separate yourself to the Lord. This is not wasted time. This is not what you do. You know, I know about me. I try to get everything done so I have plenty of time for the Lord. Guess what? I said, guess what? You'll never get done. Well, I'm gonna get everything done so I have plenty of time for God. It'll never happen. Because there's always going to be something crop up. So you just give time to God now. Just give time to God now. 2008, don't wait till 2009. Don't wait till the Cowboy Stadium's finished. You know, just now. Give time to God now. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over to the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me. Yeah. You know, false witnesses? No problem. I am the way, the truth. Hallelujah. You're always trying to defend yourself. Always trying to defend yourself. How many know God is your shield, your buckler, your exceeding great reward? Amen? Not saying you cannot make the case, but don't stress over your case. Amen? Don't stress out over your case. Well, they're all against me. Well, praise God. You've done every legal angle to take care of your case in a civil realm. Now, first of all, in the church, take care of it in the church. But if it's a civil thing, fine, it's fine to, you know, take them to court and blah, 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 and not let your thing. But don't stress. Don't let the enemy get your goat over the fact that you lost everything. Amen? Wasn't yours to begin with. But it wasn't yours to begin with. You came into this world with nothing, and it's sure, certain we'll carry nothing out. Amen? You came into the world with nothing. And you're not going to carry anything with you when you leave. Now, verse 13, I want you to listen to this very carefully. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. When a lot of people read that verse, it reads like this. I would have fainted if I hadn't seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know what? Sounds scriptural. It's not. Read it again. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see. Is the key believing or seeing? Jesus said, blessed is he who believes and has not yet seen. Blessed, happy is he who has believed and has not yet seen. Do you believe? I believe. Do you believe? I believe that the Lord is my light and my salvation, that there's none that I will be afraid of. Amen? Even if my family, even if my friends, even if my those whom I trusted fail me, I will not fail to believe. I will believe God to see the goodness of the Lord today, or before I leave at least, in the land of the living. I would have fainted if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? God loves you. Amen? God loves you. He's forgiven you. He has, in fact, empowered you by the Holy Ghost. He's living, dwelling in you. Hallelujah. Get ready. 2008, it's just another year. But you know what? It's the year that God has said that you're going to live here. And He said, it's the year that I'm going to grow you up. Amen? Are you going to grow up? Quit being a baby? Quit acting like, you know, everything's against you? God's for you. Who can be against you? Amen? Well, yeah, but I got a lot of things I want to tell you about that you just don't understand. I don't need to understand anything. You need to understand something. Well, somebody's mad now. Somebody's mad now. Because you want to tell me about your trouble. God said He's already taken all your trouble. I know your trouble still looks like it's around. That's okay. He's teaching you to believe that He is good. Walk in it. This is the truth. Walk ye in it. Amen? Father, we bless You. We thank You for this word. We thank You, Lord God, that there's only one thing that I've desired of You, and that is the... Now I can't even remember it. Is that I will seek after You. That I may dwell in Your house all the days of my life and behold Your beauty and to inquire in Your temple. Father, I thank You and I bless this people right now in the name of Jesus Christ for the year 2008. I bless them. I speak a blessing of peace, a blessing of no fear, and a blessing of the glory of God and the meditation of the Scriptures, that they are transformed, that the light and the salvation of God be manifested in them in a manifest way so that they say, praise the Lord. Look what the Lord has done. Father, I bless them and give You praise in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, as we give today, I thank You, Lord God, that You are the greatest giver. You are the one who shows great mercy. You are the one who provides for all of my needs. So, Father, as we're giving today, as You've purposed in our hearts, Lord, I thank You right now that You have provided for all of our needs and that You have given us even more than enough so that we might declare the gospel from our own household. And we praise You and thank You and give You all the glory. In Jesus' name. I will bless Thee, O Lord. I will bless Thee, O Lord, with a heart of thanksgiving. I will bless Thee, O Lord. I will glorify Thee. I will glorify Thee with a heart of thanksgiving. I will glorify Thee.